In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Poverty. Poverty is an offense against the dignity of a human being that degrades him below the level of his stature, of the purple to which he was born. It is an offense against God. Poverty and slavery. Saint Gregory of Nyssa, whom we remember today, spoke out against poverty and slavery as one thing. Poverty is slavery to the things of this world, and it is an offense to our dignity as human beings to look out and see other human beings in poverty. Because we are all born to the purple. We are all created in the image and likeness of God. And there is nothing in the world created by God that is like him as a human being is like him. No being but God has the right to enslave man, Saint Gregory said. And God chooses not to enslave us. He chooses not to enslave us to his power. He chooses not to enslave us to the things of the world and decree poverty upon us or slavery. And none of us has the right to do the same to another human being, to enslave another human being, to reduce another human being to poverty. Saint Gregory of Nyssa died in the 4th century. He was amongst that incredible first generation of Christians after the legalization of Christianity in the empire. He was one of the ones that we call the Cappadocian fathers, the three Cappadocian fathers. The icon of his elder brother, Saint Basil the Great, is over here to my right. And the icon of their sister, St. Macrina, who they both considered to be their spiritual superior in all things. Only Basil was formally taught because he was the eldest of the brothers. 5 brothers, 5 sisters in their family. Both of their parents have been recognized as saints. Basil went to Athens and studied with the greatest teachers of the time, men whose names we still know, taught him, and St. John Chrysostom, also on that same wall. When Basil came home, he taught his younger brother, Gregory, and he must have been an incredible teacher. St. Gregory doesn't stand alone, of course. You hear his words and words that he used echoed in the writings of many other fathers. But it was a specific and particular time, not long after the legalization of Christianity, when the Greeks were first learning of the Christian faith and the scriptures, and they were going through it with a fine-tooth comb. They had been trained by their study of the great pre-Christian philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, and all the rest. St. Gregory has been called the greatest philosopher of the early Christians. He was equal to dealing with the difficulties that were set up by other Greek converts to the Christian faith. A point of crisis came in his life in 379. When both his sister Macrina and his elder brother Basil died. They died at a time in the midst of the Arian controversy, the controversy about the identity of Jesus Christ. The Arians, Arius to begin with himself and others who followed him afterward, would point things out in the Gospel according to St. John, like where Christ says, The Father is greater than me. 10th chapter, Gospel of St. John. 14th chapter, Jesus says, the Father and I are one. For centuries, Christians had been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But now, when the Greeks read the scriptures, those trained in philosophy and close analysis asked questions like, how can it be that if Christ is God and equal to the Father, same nature, that he would say, the Father is greater than I? It doesn't make any sense. And Arius said, it must be that Christ is neither fully God nor fully human, but something in between. A special creation, a kind of demigod, almost God, but not fully God, not fully human. And if that were so, of course, our salvation would be wiped out of existence. Because our salvation is to participate in God's divinity by his humanity, which he shares with us. That had been the understanding. But it didn't make any sense to the critical reading of the scripture by these philosophical minds. And St. Gregory responded, you cannot reduce God to a human idea that you contain in your mind and then split it up into what makes sense to you, what seems like a contradiction to you. God is God. He is. He lives. He is the ultimate reality. And the ultimate reality is a personal being, a being who is personal by nature. Human ideas can't know God as he is in himself. Human ideas can only know what he is not. And if you've been Orthodox for any length of time, you've heard about negative theology. God is not a created being. Created things exist because God created them. It would even be wrong to say of God that he is an existing thing, because he is uncreated. There before the beginning of creation, he himself is the uncreated, the creator. And so if we're going to use the language and words and thoughts of human beings in this world that he created, all we can do if we're going to talk about how God is in himself is to say what he is not. He is not like anything of this world. He is uncreated. So how can we say that Jesus Christ is saying something contradictory when he says that he, as he calls himself, the Son of God, is one with God, the Father, and at the same time, the Father is greater than he? We can't judge this revelation of Christ, of himself, and at the same time, his revelation of our humanity. And Gregory deals with those things. He revealed them in clear language at that time. But if it's true, as St. Gregory points out, that God is so infinitely beyond us, that he is the uncreated one, and that our thoughts and understanding are not capable of knowing him, then how is it that he is not a completely and absolutely distant being that we can have no contact with? Because Jesus also says that the pure in heart will see God. We'll see God. We'll know God. How can that be? St. Gregory explains, and this is something that we would probably identify with St. Gregory Palamas, first icon here on the left in the center. But it was St. Gregory who first pointed out that an understanding of Scripture will show that there is a difference between God himself as he is, without thinking about the world that he created, his own nature, There is a difference between the divine nature of God himself and his energies that are active in this world, active when he created this world. God is not completely distant and separate from the world because he creates the world. He uses his divine energies to create the world. In the West, the term would become grace, the grace of God. God creates by his grace. But in the East, St. Gregory said that when God creates, he creates by his divine energies. His divine energies are present in the world, and they are God. God as he acts in the world. We can know God by knowing his energies. St. Gregory Palamas in the 14th century would say that the monastics who purify themselves by their spiritual lives, some of them eventually see the uncreated light of God's own presence in his energies. This world that God created is not stripped of his presence. Because in all the things that he created, because he creates them by his active divine energies in this physical world, God is not absolutely distant in his uncreatedness. It was St. Gregory of Nyssa who first explained these things, 1,000 years before St. Gregory Palamas. And when it comes to our humanity, St. Gregory says that because of the fact that we are created in the image and likeness of God, there is some similarity between us and God that is very mysterious and profound. It has to do with why we owe every other human being compassion and respect. Because there is about every human being something similar to the uncreatedness of God. We are created, and yet there is something in us that is not of this world. That's what Gregory said. Now, it's not that we pre-existed, nothing like that. Only God existed before the creation of the world, but God created human beings in his image and likeness. And in us, there is our nous, N-O-U-S, nous. It's translated into English inadequately by the word mind. And sometimes we try to make up for it by saying our spiritual mind. But there really is no good way to simply translate the word. You just have to read enough about it until you start to get a sense of the fact that each of us as human beings has a spiritual nature that is part of us, not the whole of us, that is not of this world because it is like God. It is like the mystery of his nature that we cannot know. There is something about every other human being that is mysterious that we cannot know. It's the reason we never get to the bottom of a human being. It's a reason that every human being is to be valued as the highest value of anything in the created world. Some of these ideas would not come around again in the minds of human beings until modern times, until the beginning of the American Revolution, until the writings of John Locke and Immanuel Kant, where they would talk about the value of a human being, more valuable than anything else. These things were there at the beginning of the putting into words so that people who were not Jews could understand the Christian faith. St. Gregory the theologian, St. Gregory of Nyssa, put these things into words for us. He has been called the most overlooked of all the great minds of our civilization. What an incredible generation there was there in the 4th century. And when we think about our world today, we owe it to ourselves to look to those who went before us, who first put the Christian faith into language that makes sense to the modern mind, and broaden our understanding of what the world is about and what it means to be a human being and what it means to deal with other human beings who have this ultimate value of having been created in the image and likeness of God. And when we think about ourselves, we owe it to ourselves to deal with ourselves with the degree of respect that a human being deserves, not to beat ourselves down and think of ourselves as less than we are, because every one of us is created in the image and likeness of God, and we owe it to ourselves to be as good and pure and noble and holy as we can be. And we can be like that through Christ. That is our fulfillment. That is our salvation. To be at one with Him in a way that death cannot overcome. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.